When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is the very first insanity defense. It was used in a murder case involving a man by the name of Daniel Edgar Sickles back in the 1800s, and he lived a pretty interesting life, and we're going to talk about his life and his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. I'm joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Mistress of the Macabre, the Empress of Evil, pill-popping, penis-loving, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm good, Timmy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you excited about this topic today?
Well, I thought we were doing Don Rickles, so I'm just...
You're taken aback.
I'm surprised. But I usually am.
You thought instead of Daniel Sickles, it was Don Rickles.
I did. That's my bad.
See, and I thought we were doing his father.
Popsicles?
Popsicles.
There you go.
Okay. That was a terrible pun. Just off one. You're not here yet.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
So before we go to the Colonel, Brandy, you have any words of wisdom for us today or anything you want to, you know, anything in particular you want to mention, or are you just ready to go?
I don't think so. Is there something that I'm
no,
missing?
No, I'm just saying. This is your segment, so I'm...
Oh, no, I'm good today. Okay. I'm good.
You want to flash your breast or anything like that?
No, you know what? I'm all right. I'm all right. You know, all big right. thing, I had crackers with soup yesterday, so...
Wow.
I know, right?
All right. So that's your first... Crackers are your first solid food?
It's solid-ish, because, you know, I had to wait for them to get mushy, and I'm still supposed to be like a week away, but I couldn't take it. And I loved it so much, I ate a little too much, and then I was like... Bleh.
You know, that's a funny thing. It's like you could walk by crackers all day long, but if you're starving,
crackers are the shit.
It's the best motherfucking cracker you ever had.
Crackers are the shit.
You mean like licking your fingers off? You know, if you're. So, how long has it been since you've had solid food now?
Well, so middle of October.
Wow. So a month.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, next week you get a little bit more, and
yeah, because I've been sneaking peanut butter. You just saw me do that, which is the best thing ever.
I thought you would actually, and I was down the hall here, Timmy, when Brandy did her peanut butter, and I thought there was something sexual going on down here.
With her and peanut butter?
Took a bite and she was like...
She was sort of like Meg Ryan in...
I wasn't actually like that at all, but...
When Harry met Sally.
Yeah, she was...
I felt like it, but
I was like, whatever... Give me whatever the devil's having now. I'll have that for lunch.
Okay, well, let me introduce the moral compass of our program.
Oh, that person is not here.
The very honorable, the kind and gentle, I'm glad you're here. You make us a more kind and gentler podcast.
Girl. I like to think it's a kind of gentler podcast because of me.
You would like to think so.
I would like to ask our listeners now.
I haven't introduced you yet.
Well, okay.
Let
me wait.
And yet he talks. The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Wait. Why do I get introduced as penis-loving and pill-popping? I'm a reverend, too. Let us not forget.
You're a lost sheep.
I'm a reverend.
We do not
too.
Trying to bring you back into the flock. The house of Satan.
Yeah, we don't.
I'm not. First of all, clearly you do. And second of all, I'm a reverend.
But you're
I'm as much of a reverend as Chuck is.
Now come on, Timmy. Who's doing the Lord's
work?
Well,
I do think Charles walks the walk.
Do you have the Colonel
Only so evangel- you can get his steps in.
Evangelical hour on local cable access? No, I think you don't.
And so. He has the collar. I mean, he looks very, very religious.
He doesn't have
there.
A collar on. Dog collar.
I got a collar.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is I get introduced, which, you know, I'm sure would make my mother proud if she ever listened to it. I get introduced as penis-loving, pill-popping. But you...
Look, we are not judging you. If you like
moral,
a pop appeal...
With your moral deficits.
If you like, you know, if you like to pop Percocet every once in a while and enjoy a nice penis, we, yeah. Do you have any... You don't have any...
I got no problem with that.
We have no problem with that.
Just own it.
Well, thanks.
Own it. That's all we're asking you.
Yeah.
Own it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying...
Be yourself.
Those things... I'm just saying those things should not define me. Well, I'm a reverend. I'm a mother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think people find it more interesting that you're pill-popping, penis-loving.
I think you've spent more time with the penises and the pills than mothering.
Yeah.
I mean, not to be critical of your parenting.
We're not judging you.
But if it weren't for Dave, those kids would basically be in an orphanage.
They'd be feral.
They'd be feral.
And Noah, be home popping
they're damn feral now.
I was going to say, Noah's just a hair from feral himself.
Jesus. We have basketball practice tonight.
Okay, now you're talking. Oh, Noah? And how old is Noah?
Five.
Five.
Yeah, we have basketball tonight.
See,
is he still calling you dude?
You got to do like Amber Krupp does. You're going to have to Facebook Live some of his practices.
Oh, yeah. I bet it's funny.
That stuff's just hysterical.
We already know.
Can any of them make baskets at that age?
They lower the baskets.
Oh, yeah,
down.
They lower it.
Oh,
it's pretty low.
Okay.
Yeah. That bar is low. So yeah. It's the baskets.
Me and you could dunk, Timmy.
Oh, okay.
Now, I would like to ask before we get started here. I was at the animal hospital last night with a rude dog.
Rudy, one of our Patreon sponsors. What's wrong with Rudy?
Rudy's a rough dog. He likes to play rough. He likes to. Rudy lives hard. He plays hard. He sleeps hard. So, and Rudy, every once in a while, will mess up and discombobulate a disc in his back. So I'd like to have if you could give us some thoughts and prayers. Keep Rudy in your thoughts and prayers.
Take him to the doggy chiropractor.
And any love offerings you might have for Rudy's well-being, you can send to Tara, the History Dweebs.
No, you cannot. Don't listen to him. No. No,
I'm
we're
just
not
saying,
fundraising
if
for
you
your
love
mutt.
The dog.
No.
For your mutt.
He's a Patreon giver.
He is. So let's leave it at that. He's going to get a shout-out. That's it. Let me. Speaking of which, Colonel.
Let's not forget the sweet Amber Scoville again.
Did I forget her last time?
You did.
I am sorry, Amber. So a special shout out to Amber, who is one of our patrons. We have a growing number of patrons, and we appreciate it very much. You support the podcast and makes it possible
supporting
for us.
Supporting the arts.
They are supporting the arts. And so I'd like to thank all of them, and I'm going to run through them very quickly, and then we'll get on with the show. Alicia and Chip, thank you very much. Brandy McBride. Now I'm going to say this, Brandy. You heard this, so you got to help me with it. Lisa, is that right?
Sounds right.
Lisa, thank you. Lisa sent me a tutorial on how to pronounce her name.
So did Shonda.
Yeah,
Shonda
did.
Shonda.
Shonda did as well. You're
Shonda
right.
Larry.
Leslie Hager, Amber Scoville. I'm sorry, Amber, if I forgot you last time. My sincere apologies. We appreciate your support. Jahara, Andrew Happ, Jennifer Siemens, and her son Hunter. Angelo, thank you, Angelo. Bridget Clavey. Bridget, we appreciate it very much. The Dynamic, Cindy Liu. And of course, our good friend at Insight Podcast, Charlie. And your dog, Rudy. And that's all we're going to say about Rudy.
Who is accepting love offerings for his recovery.
No. And I want to give a shout out to Kate. who got edited out. I don't know how that happens.
Kate McCarthy? Yeah, we tried to make sure that we definitely got her a shout-out.
Since we seldom edit anything, mm-hmm. but somehow she got edited out last time. So a big shout-out to Kate. Thank you very much for listening, and we love you. Okay, we'll get to Colonel's shout-outs at the end of the show, but let's talk, let's get into our story today. It's the first insanity defense, and it was used by a man named Daniel Sickles. And he had a very interesting life. He was a senator, a diplomat, a general, a war hero, but also a whoremonger and a murderer.
So, hey, yes.
Yeah, so he had a pretty interesting life, wouldn't you say so, Colonel?
You throw out the murderer, and he lived pretty much your life, Timmy.
I haven't been a war hero yet.
Well, the cultural wars, Timmy, you are a war hero.
Thank you, Colonel.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sickles is best known for being the first defendant to employ an insanity defense in a criminal court case. It was a murder case, and we're going to talk about that. We'll get into all the details.
And this was in the United States.
Yeah, in the United States. So if it was used in, say, England, I'm not sure. But this was the first and the first successful use of the insanity defense in the U.S. courts.
Are you going to cover the McNaughton rule?
No. No, I had no plans to.
What about the hat?
Can I just throw this in here? The McNaughton rule, Timmy, comes from England. Mm-hmm. And it basically says that if you were to commit a crime, you were compulsed to commit a crime right next to a police officer, that would be the definition of insanity.
I see.
Thank you, Raymond Burr.
You are so compelled that you cannot. And our insanity defense comes from the McNaughton rule. Being a lawyer.
I'm telling you what, I hated criminal law. I hated it.
Nicole Reed would know this because I've told her since she's going to be my legal advisor,
she's
to please
counsel.
Focus up on criminal law.
Yeah, so. That'd be a good idea if she is employed by you.
You should. You know what? If he's retaining her, you should pay her a retainer.
Yeah.
I give her shout outs.
Yeah, you should pay her a retainer.
No, you should pay her a retainer.
Yeah.
I think, run that by Renee.
Okay.
You ever have a dentist on retainer?
No, I got a retainer from my dentist.
All right. Let's get into Daniel Sickles. I know, it was stupid. The early life of Daniel Edgar Sickles. He was born on October 20th, 1819 in New York City. October 20th, so his mother wouldn't have been pregnant during the holidays, I don't think, Colonel.
No. Depends on how long she had carried him.
Well, unless she carried him for 10 months, I don't think she was.
Some people do that, Timmy.
All right. his year of birth is sometimes given as 1825, but Sickles claimed, that's what Sickles claims it to be, but it is believed he was born 1819. He went with 1825 because you'll see later on he marries a much younger woman. So they speculate that he chose to appear to be younger because he married a woman half of his age.
Hmm.
He was born into a very prominent family, and this insanity defense, I think a lot of it hinges on the fact that he had a lot of political pull. So I'm not sure if it would have flown, if it was like, Joe Blow off the street. But
did he have as much pull as the emperor?
As Emperor Norton?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. His parents was Susan Marsh Sickles and George Sickles. They were George Sickles was a patent lawyer and a politician. So Daniel Sickles, growing up, learned the printer's trade, and he studied at what would become New York University. He was briefly expelled from school for sneaking a young lady into his dorm room.
Whore.
The dean, why is the young lady a whore?
I was talking about him.
Oh, okay.
I'd say the young lady was the whore.
Well, I'm saying she probably was, too. I'm just saying that.
The dean got wind of it, and
he
walked
in.
He
about that.
The dean walked in on Sickle and his lady friend while they were having sex.
So was there a three-way involved?
No. Sickles was upset at the suspension, but he was more upset at the fact that the dean had not waited for him to finish his deed.
Exactly.
For real, that's rude.
You don't grab a man in the middle of a boner and say, stop it, Timmy.
Sickles' argument was, quote, I was going to face expulsion anyway. Why not let me have it with a smile on my face?
That's true.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
Poor bastard probably just had to tip in, Timmy.
Yeah. I mean, it probably would, you know, ruin the moment, wouldn't you think?
Yes.
If a dean walks in on you?
Yes, that does ruin the moment for me.
It wouldn't bother you?
Shocking.
Renee walks in on me all the time. It doesn't bother me.
Who are you with?
No one.
My favorite person, Timmy.
Yourself.
Nobody knows me like I do, Timmy.
No one can love you like yourself.
He's exactly. With Rosie.
All right. So, anyway, Sickles gets kicked out of school for a bit. His parents were not pleased when they heard about this, and they threatened to cut him off financially because he was bringing shame to the family.
For shame,
you son of a bitch.
He studied law at the office of...
So he said, here, watch this.
Yeah. Hold my drink.
But he did finish school. And then he went to study law in the office of Benjamin Butler, who would later become...
Benjamin Buttons?
Butler. Oh. Who would later become a key figure in the Civil War. Sickles was admitted to the bar, New York bar, in 1846. And he was elected as a member of the New York State Assembly in 1847. So he's already jumping into politics here.
When did you get admitted to the bar, Timmy?
I did not take the bar.
That was never.
You do have a law degree.
I have a law degree. I finished in the top 10% of my class, but I did not take the bar.
You decided not to pursue that career.
No, because I hated it by the time I was done with it. I actually have my diploma. And I've never opened it. I got it in the mail.
Are you kidding?
I never opened it.
If you were a lawyer, you probably would have killed yourself by now, Timmy.
You know, I'm assuming I graduated.
might want to open that package, right. Timmy.
We'll open it one day maybe when I retire.
We will.
All right. Anyway, it's still in, you know, the little car,
the tube.
The tube, yeah. 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 All right. I have other tubes, but that one is... I haven't opened yet.
Okay. Now, I thought it would come in a tube, but, you know, when the boys graduated, theirs came in just FedEx things.
Yeah. Mine's in a tube, but I've never opened it.
They didn't graduate from law school.
Anyway.
Law springs for the tubes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what the extra $120,000 is for.
Yeah.
Inflation. Like you got an aspirin at a hospital.
Boy, I told you guys earlier today, I lost my medication, and I went to – this is just generic Lipitor for cholesterol yesterday, and I went to buy it again because my insurance wasn't going to pay for it because I lost the stupid thing. $380.
Mm-hmm.
The tech took pity on you.
Yeah, she had a code, and it knocked it down to $30, which is amazing, but I don't know. It's kind of scary to think what people do without health insurance because you just go without it.
Well, you know, and this is what people talk about, you know, death panels and everything else. But I'll tell you, and I may have told this story before, but
yeah, I'm betting you have.
I use
probably already today.
Devil, you've made fun of me for this before. At times I will.
Does this have anything to do with Daniel Sickles?
Breakouts of psoriasis. I have to use a almost like a hair gel. It's an oil that, you know, you put on your scalp and makes your hair look slick back and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
It looks like a greaser.
It's about a 3-ounce bottle that I get. Mm-hmm. Do you know how much that costs, Timmy?
How much?
$690.
Oh, man.
$690. Now, I don't have to pay that.
Right. Somebody's
I think I pay $40 for it, but yeah. $690.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. All right. So, back to Sickles. So now he's a New York State Assemblyman, right? In the early 1850s, he acquired some land that would later become Central Park in New York.
Oh, no kidding.
Nice.
Yeah. On September 27th, 1852, Daniel Sickles married a young lady named Teresa Baglio. And it was against both families' wishes, his family as well as hers, because Sickles was 33 years old at the time, and Teresa was 14.
Oh.
See, that's like people we had are the just other so day. Judgmental. Back in the day, 14 years old was considering marrying age.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still a little creepy, I think. But
it don't make it less creepy, but it was mm-hmm. it was a societal norm.
Evidently.
Now, after the marriage, they loved each other and they set up house together. But Sickles proceeded to have numerous affairs throughout their marriage. He was quite the ladies' man.
Ladies' man.
Ladies' man.
He must have had a big wang.
Must have had a big wang.
While in the New York State Assembly, he was censored by his colleagues.
Censured
by his colleagues for escorting famed prostitute Fanny White
yes.
into the assembly's chambers where they apparently had sex after hours.
Did it after hours. What are people all concerned about? Devil's knocked one off of you. How many times you done it after hours in here, Devil?
Never. I'm not here after hours. That's crazy. Yeah, what am I
thinking? It's barely here during hours.
Yeah, right. That's true. I don't know what I'm thinking.
She only comes in for the podcast.
Yeah.
And eat peanut butter.
Yeah.
So he has his young bride at home, but he's still, messing around with the prostitutes. Now, Fanny White, the prostitute that Sickles was connected to, was one of the most successful prostitutes in New York City at the time.
Wow.
She was known for her beauty, her wit, and her business smarts. She accumulated a significant fortune over the course of her career as a prostitute and as a mama-san.
Mama-san.
In 1847, Fanny White, who was then 24 years old, was managing the most successful brothel in New York City.
Quick question for you, Devil.
What?
All the places you worked, you ever do it at work?
No.
Timmy? Where is the weirdest places? No, I've never done it at work. Where is the weirdest place you've ever done it? Strangest. Not strange, but the most unusual place you've ever done it, Brandy.
I don't know. Press box at the ATP.
Oh, there you go, Devil.
That's kinky. How about you, Colonel?
Do you consider a cemetery a peculiar place?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Okay. Cemetery.
All right. Is this with the Mrs. Colonel?
No, it was not with the Mrs. Colonel. It
was
not
before.
It was neither while I was married to the Mrs. Colonel either. So okay. It was before Mrs. Colonel.
Okay.
Now, Miss Colonel.
Was it with someone else?
Was with someone else.
And were they alive at the time?
Was a participant, yes. A live participant. Mrs. Colonel, let me see. She don't listen to this show, so I would probably say the golf course with Mrs. Colonel.
Okay.
Golf course out at Sharon Park, Sharon Woods.
Ew, that's by my house. Ew. Yeah,
well,
on what hole?
It was on the ninth fairway, Timmy.
All right.
And I should say it was more than a fairway.
Gross.
Gross. Now you're going to think about that, Brandy, every time you pass the golf course.
Let me just say, I drove long and straight, Devil.
You're so nasty.
I drove long and straight.
So nasty.
I
bet it was a putt, too.
How about you, Timmy?
Strangest place?
Yeah.
I don't really know. I like a strange place. I mean, I've done it outside before, but...
I've never done it in a car.
Well, I can't say that. Okay. So let's move on. You know, when you're young and you're poor, you have to improvise.
Yeah, I've done, up to that in a car, but I've not reached that point.
Well, yeah.
And I had a pretty sweet smoking car, but we had a place to go when I was in high school, so.
Yeah, well, I was poor. So back to Fanny. In 1847, Fanny White, the prostitute, met Daniel Sickles, and they became close friends. In fact,
and lovers.
Yeah, lovers. And Fanny White's girls considered Sickles to be her man. So they had a thing, and it would last a long time, actually, even though he was already married. 19th century prostitutes commonly had a man or a friend with whom they develop a romantic attachment. Their affair would continue long after Sickles had married his child bride, Teresa. A prostitute's man at the time normally did not have to pay for her attention.
I would hope not.
Yeah. Although Sickles did give Fanny White generous gifts of jewelry and money. Plus, he was a politician in town, so he could get her out of trouble if she got into trouble. He could pull some strings for her. In 1851, Fanny purchased a building in downtown Manhattan where she opened her a high-class brothel. So she was serving all the movers and shakers. She's kind of like Heidi Fleiss. Yeah, she was serving all the movers and shakers in New York City at the time. They were her customers were merchants, congressmen, diplomats. Everyone who was important who visited New York would visit Fanny White's establishment. She maintained good relationships with the police, so her establishment could escape official notice. Her powerful clientele, including, of course, our topic of our podcast, Daniel Sickles, also offered her a degree of protection. Her discreet relationship, though, with Sickles did attract notice because he was a politician. So, he's being kind of the Anthony Weiner of his day.
Weiner.
After he was elected to the New York Assembly in 1847, he took, as I mentioned before, he took Fanny White to Albany. He would be seen out in public with her, which was just, to the dismay of, the public, the people who saw him because of her reputation. And then, of course, we mentioned he took her to the State Assembly there in Albany, where they did the dirty deed.
I'm sure his wife was really happy to see him together, too.
Well, I don't know. I think she stayed in New York City while he was at the Capitol. But they were spotted in the assembly chamber by a cleaning lady, and she reported the incident to her boss, who was a political enemy of Daniel Sickles. So it's kind of like a Watergate thing going down there. So he was censured for his indiscretion, his youthful indiscretion. Another evening, Sickles went out on the town with Fanny White. To avoid attention, Fanny dressed as a man. That was at the time illegal. She couldn't just say she was identifying as a man. It was illegal to cross-dress at the time. So a policeman stopped their carriage, and they end up arresting Fanny White for cross-dressing. She ended up spending the night in jail, and Sickles bailed her out the next day. I don't know why he didn't bail her out the same evening. Why the hell did he make her stay all night? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he wanted to teach her a lesson.
Yeah, or maybe he wanted to go play around with someone else. Sickles also paid White's mortgage on her brothel using the name of his father-in-law, Antonio Baggio. So, yeah, he's paying her mortgage under his father-in-law's name. It's kind of like people. Did you see where people are making donations
to Mike Pence?
Donations to
Planned Parenthood.
I love that. I guess this is the same deal here. He doesn't like. They didn't approve of the marriage, so he's.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and he's proving right that they really shouldn't have.
Yeah, he's being a dick.
I mean, yeah.
Now rumors that. Fanny White contributed her own earnings to Sickles' election campaign would haunt Sickles the rest of his political career. So he's taking, she's donating money to him, he's giving money to her. Anyway, his association with her is kind of raising eyebrows. He lavished her with gifts and nights on the town while his young bride was stuck home with household chores. At this point, Fanny White was not aware that Daniel Sickles was even married. When Fanny found out, she became so angry that she followed Sickles to a hotel and attacked him with a riding crop.
Well, attacked might be a strong word.
Yeah. And he was paying extra for the riding crop.
I think it was just called Saturday.
Maybe. Have you ever used a riding crop, or you or Dave play this sort of game?
You know what? We're not doing that.
Why? Well, I'm just curious.
You don't need to be.
When you were younger, I know with the kids you can't do that.
You do not need
crazy.
To be curious.
So I'm you're just, not going to tell us?
No, I'm not telling you anything.
So that means yes.
It does not mean yes.
I take that as
because if you wouldn't have used a riding crop, you would have jumped right up and said,
no.
I never use a riding crop. What kind of deviant do you take me for?
Not with you.
But
people.
You said no comment.
Yeah, no comment.
I didn't say no comment.
Timmy,
I'm not telling you people shit.
Timmy, ask me if I ever had sex with a dolphin.
Have you ever had sex with a dolphin?
Absolutely not.
Well, I don't believe you.
So, I thought you were going to say no comment.
I don't believe you.
Absolutely not.
Flipper was an attractive dolphin. You got to admit.
That's true.
They can talk.
Dolphins can talk. On.
Yeah. I did see a thing where
a dolphin give consent?
I guess if they can talk. But I saw this where this guy had sex with a dolphin.
Gross.
Yeah, really sick. Sick shit. Okay. Fanny kicks his ass and whips him with a riding crop because she didn't know he was married. She was quite upset. To make it up to her, Sickles took Fanny White to England with him while he was with the Secretary of State delegation in London, leaving his pregnant wife at home.
There you go.
In England, Fanny White accompanying Sickles to the theater, to opera, and to diplomatic events. So he's taking his lady friend, prostitute, over to Europe with him. He even took her, Fanny, to Buckingham Palace, and he introduced Fanny to Queen Victoria using an alias. He didn't call, she went by a different name, which was the name of one of his toughest critics in New York, Bennett. So he's dropping all these aliases of his enemies. Now, historians have speculated that Fanny White talked Sickles into the introduction and that Sickles was further motivated by his dislike by both the monarchy and the editor of the New York Herald, James Bennett. That's the name he is. So Queen Victoria, however, apparently never learned the truth. If she did, she probably would not have been amused.
She's listening to this if she's listening now.
Yeah, but she's like dead, so probably she's probably not listening. But
or is she?
James Bennett heard about it, and he was not happy. So Teresa Sickles, his wife, his young bride, she came over to England when she got, kind of word of this, in the spring of 1854, and Fanny left town.
Did she say, oh, hell no?
Yeah, Fanny got out of Dodge. He sent Fanny on a tour of Europe. She visited Paris, Germany, Vienna, Austria, and other interesting and fashionable resorts. She was removed from the Paris Opera by police after making a drinking scene. And then she later then...
How often does that happen to you, Devil?
Yeah, do you ever get removed from an opera house?
Anywhere in general. For being drunk and disorderly.
Why? Of course I have.
Yeah. Has it happened to you in the last 5 years?
It happened to me yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Fanny goes back to New York and did her best to forget Sickles because, he's married. And she just went about her business of running the brothel. She established a second brothel in Manhattan.
She's a franchisee.
Yeah, I mean, she's a business lady.
She was who's the guy that owned Wendy's, Dave?
She's Dave, what's his butt? Thomas.
Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas of a time.
She's the Dave Thomas of Putang.
Yeah. And, there's something to be said for that. That takes a talent. Sensing that Fanny was hurting his political aspirations, Sickles decided to break off their relationship. Although he would continue to frequent the finest brothels around the world, he just stayed away from Fanny. Fanny, in 1856, Fanny was still heartbroken over Daniel Sickles. She sold her brothels and started dating a young criminal defense attorney named Edward Blankman, who was 7 years younger than her. So she was a bit of a cougar.
A bit?
Yeah. And they got married in 1859. Now, her new husband was generous, and he paid Fanny's brother $2,500 for a lifelong lease on a house that he owned, and he gave that lease to Fanny's sister. Nice of him. So he also paid for her niece to go to school. So she's in this other whole other relationship now. But she kept in contact. She still had, you know, feelings for Daniel Sickles, right? She still longed for him.
Gross.
But Daniel Sickles, fearing further damage to his political career, and he didn't want to upset his wealthy father-in-law, so he tried to, you know, tried to stay away from Fanny. Now, on October 12th, 1860, Fanny died suddenly at her home. She was only 37 years old and had no known illnesses.
Except for the syphilis and the consumption.
Well, we don't know that yet because rumors began immediately that Fanny's new husband had poisoned her to gain access to her fortune because, you know, she's making a lot of dough as a, you know, as a madam there in New York. Her brother arranged for an autopsy.
Closer.
To be conducted, and it was concluded that Fanny had died of a stroke. Isn't that sad?
It is sad.
She's only 37.
Well, she had done a lot of stroking in the day, Timmy.
Yeah.
I mean, those strokes add up.
On October 16th of that year, motivated by continued rumors of poisoning, the New York City coroner and the district attorney ordered that Fanny's remains be reexamined at Bellevue Hospital. The three-day inquest became a causa brevi. I screwed that up, I know. And reported in the New York Times. Yeah. The doctors who reexamined Fanny's body reported signs of exposure to tuberculosis and syphilis.
I told you the whore had both of them.
She had the clap,
the consumption. She had the CC. If she would have had cancer, she would have had the trifecta, Timmy.
As well as those symptoms, as well as that, she had symptoms of cardiovascular disease because she couldn't afford a Lipitor, and extensive bleeding in the brain.
Oh, damn.
But no signs of poisoning. So the total value of her property at the time of her death was estimated between $50,000 and $100,000, or that's $1.5 to $2.5 million in today's money.
So she's making bank.
She was a baller, right?
She was a baller. She was a shot caller.
Protruding hemorrhoids too, Timmy.
Well, I didn't read the full report, so
yeah,
I'll go with
it.
Neither did he.
Okay.
Yeah, external hemorrhoids that were. And that's how she made so much damn money. I mean,
In her will. She left everything to her young lover, new husband. Now, her siblings, her brother and sister, contested the will, claiming that he had been forged by her husband after her death. But on June 26, 1861, which was right before right after the Civil War started, right, Colonel? Many months of testimony, the court ruled in her husband's favor. Her siblings appealed, but the New York Supreme Court upheld the lower ruling. So all of Fanny's money went to her husband. Now, one of the reasons the court did not believe the will was forged is because it included not only a declaration of love for her husband, but also a declaration of love for one Daniel Sickles. So she was still carrying a torch for young Daniel. Fanny had composed one last love letter to Daniel Sickles that had been in the possession of her attorney. The letter was delivered to Sickles the week after Fanny died, and the contents of that letter remain a mystery. But soon after, her husband began liquidating his wife's assets. Yeah, get it? Assets.
Yeah. Her assets were already gone by then.
Mm-hmm.
It was decaying in the morgue.
Sickles took the death of his ex-girlfriend very hard. Now, of course, he's still married to Teresa. But he took the death of Fanny very hard. He began to drink more.
Fanny was used to taking it hard. So.
She was. He began to drink more and more. He spent more and more time away from home and away from his wife.
Like that's a bad thing.
He reportedly arranged to have fresh flowers sent to Fanny's grave twice a week. Kind of like Joe DiMaggio did with Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe, yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Daniel Sickles continued his whoremongering ways and having multiple affairs, albeit now more discreetly. Now Brandy's going to tell you about what happens next with Daniel Sickles and his young wife.
If we could pull her from her Candy Crush.
Yes.
You know what?
Let me play your Candy Crush while you're over there.
No.
You can't
let
do any worse.
Yeah.
First of all, how you fucking know? Second of all, no.
Okay. So tell us about Daniel Sickles.
He's tired of your shenanigans.
And
we're tired of your shenanigans. You know what? We're tired of your disengagement from here.
Yeah, you really are disengaged.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not. I have commented and spoken.
Are you going to put some effort into this? Or are you just going
to
just
gonna
mail it in like you've been doing?
I was going to try and read the page in front of me.
I mean, don't you feel like...
Yeah, she mails it. She's mailing it in. She's sort of like... sort of like Johnny Carson his last year.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and it is...
I can be Johnny Carson.
Like David Letterman.
Really? Letterman grew a sweet-ass white beard, so...
No, he did. What's up with that beard?
I don't know. Dude,
and I'm wondering...
Crazy.
He looks like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
A deranged Santa Claus. Yeah. But I'm wondering, Timmy, and I have to ask...
Black, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because this has come up on the page a number of times with the Texit thing. You know, and you get him burned out.
Timex.
Timex. Is, and I have to ask this, is her lack of engagement, she's difficult to work with.
She is very difficult to work with. And, you know, she...
Has that been a significant factor in your
burnout? Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? You don't help much either.
But I couldn't be no more pleasant. I don't know.
Well, our sound system finally is working, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we don't have a YouTube channel.
We're going to have a YouTube channel. You know what? I decided to commit myself to having a YouTube channel.
Okay, Brandy, what happens with Daniel Sickles and his young bride?
Talk
to us about...
If you can put the phone down for one day.
Well, you are obsessed with that Candy Crush.
Yeah.
We need
an intervention for the
girl. Really need some kind of therapy or something.
This is what my therapist gave me as anger management as I sit and listen to the two of you drivel on.
What do you think about that?
But I don't believe you're listening at all.
No. I know, because I'm focused elsewhere.
You're focused
if
on
not,
the
I'd have
you
slit
owe
your
it
throat
to
with
our
my
listeners
pretty nails a long time ago.
You owe it to our listeners to be engaged.
I'm engaged.
All right.
I'm, in fact, married. So, all right.
Tell us about Daniel Sickles and his wife, would you?
I'm trying.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Sense a little hostility.
Well, there's really nothing else you say after you're welcome.
No.
But you said something, so
well,
now.
I just wish you would be a little
people
less
People like
hostile.
Our bickering.
Shit.
No, I just don't. I don't. People, you know what? People are coming home now. We got Jessica Williams, for instance.
Very lovely lady.
Lovely lady. Got a stressful job. Now look at her picking up a goddamn phone again.
Come on, Brandy. Seriously, can you not just... Can you not, like...
I'm listening.
No, you're not.
I'm absolutely listening. I'm sitting here listening, and you all are talking over me. I haven't even been able to start my part yet, because the two of you are running your fucking dick suckers this whole goddamn time. Now shut the fuck up, and I'll tell you
I'm just trying
about
to explain something
here.
To
what
you.
What did I say?
And
what
I'm telling you.
I will pinch you to your
people talk
like
about
an old woman.
Okay, people, you know, and we stay off politics. But you know what? The Democrats lost the election because they ignore basic principles, Timmy. Mm-hmm. And here's what's happening. They ignored the people in the Midwest, and they, you know, that's my opinion. But anyway, devil, you don't get it. You're ignoring our people.
I'm ignoring you.
You're ignoring our people.
No, I'm ignoring you.
We got
you.
Jessica Williams. You know what? She's a
fine
massage
lady.
Therapist.
Beautiful lady.
Beautiful woman. Beautiful, beautiful woman.
We have many beautiful
she
women
goes
on our
to
podcast.
Her work
keep
every
it
day.
In your pants.
She's a massage therapist.
By the way, I said that last time that Angie was a player. I meant to say she was very charming. So from now
Angie
on.
Angie is charming.
It's going to be charming.
Except
Angie.
She needs to be a little nicer to me, the hostile-ass lesbian.
No. She's very charming, very nice.
She's
lady.
A charming, hostile lesbian. But anyway, let's take Jessica Williams, okay?
Okay.
She goes to work. She's a massage therapist. Now, she's down there.
Not a happy ending type.
No,
of
she's
massage.
A legit one. Yeah. But she's got those tight muscles. She's trying to knead them like
I
bread.
Be doing right now.
Put your Candy Crush down.
Trying to make people feel better.
Yeah.
You know, she turns on our show to get a little bit of distraction so she could do this better. And you know what? She deserves 100% of your effort, though.
Yeah. If you don't do it for me and the Colonel.
Do it for Jessica, for fuck's sake. Okay?
Do it for Jessica.
You know, do
for
it
for Katya.
For Katya. Do it for Amber Scoville.
Yes.
Amber Scoville. Could you ever meet a sweeter girl than
do
Amber
Do it for
Scoville?
Michael Birdsall and Sydney.
And Wonder the dog.
Yeah. Think of them.
I mean.
Don't look like you're doing it for us. Think
yeah,
of them.
It's an obligation that you have. Huh?
And now she's yawning, reaching for her peanut
now?
Butter.
She's going to open a bottle of pop now. Going to open up a bottle. Let's see if it fizzes.
Okay, Brandy, please continue.
Yeah, could
can
you,
I?
You
yes,
think
please.
You can do
I
your
continue?
Part now? Could you show a little enthusiasm?
Yeah. Jeez. Just put some energy into
Christ.
It.
Yeah.
Feel it. Be in the moment.
Low energy. You know, Donald Trump called you low energy.
Yeah, she is low energy. She's got this god-awful drink. I don't know what it is, but.
I think it's lemonade.
It's god awful.
It's lemonade.
I think it's lemonade.
Please continue. Daniel Sickles and his wife.
Yes,
Teresa.
And look how much time we lost just because you won't pay attention.
And no wonder these things last for fucking 2 hours.
No wonder Timmy's burned out.
Yeah.
Look what you're doing to him.
Yeah, look, I've got gray hair.
Go attend an autopsy. Okay. While it apparently.
I went to law school first. All right, continue.
Maybe. We don't know.
I'm gonna
I've never seen proof of it.
Diploma in
neither has he.
I know. I've never seen proof of it.
I went. I don't know if I finished. Yeah, I finished. All right.
Well, it apparently was okay in his head for Sickles to have affairs. He didn't feel the same way about his neglected wife getting some side action.
Well, she shouldn't. A
whore. She shouldn't. A slut.
So shortly after their
she
marriage.
She should be at home cooking.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Waiting for him.
Yeah.
Shortly after, God, you kids are fucking idiots.
Putting coal in the stove.
Exactly. What are pearls on?
Cooking pigeon or whatever they whatever they ate.
Whatever it was, yeah.
So Sickles began to question his wife's fidelity shortly after they got married, which means that he was whoring around. I've seen Maury. I know what happens.
Well, she's 14.
Hey, this is no lie now. When I was a kid.
Good story.
When I was a kid.
Back to Candy Crush you go.
Yeah, pick up the goddamn phone. Now, if you listen to the story, you might learn some.
He's got Candy Crush in one hand or
lemonade
in the
other. Yeah. You want to light up a cigarette there, devil?
Oh, my God. That'd be the best thing ever.
You know, they got the chunks of chicken and they got the stick through it and they call it city chicken?
Yeah.
Tim, I kid you not. When I was a little kid. Because I guess that's the cheap parts of the chicken. I don't know. And it's cheap. And we used to eat it. And I swear to you, I thought it was pigeon.
Oh, yeah.
Because people used to call pigeons, city chickens. I swear to you, every time we was eating city
chicken.
You're
not sure it wasn't.
It might have been.
Right.
But they were called city chicken, and I thought,
man, that has son of a pigeons bitch. Can't be taste very good.
I would not think so. They lean taste meat, good though. To hawks. Huh?
Must be a lean meat.
You ever seen a baby pigeon?
Not many.
I've never seen a baby pigeon, but, you know, you see a full-grown pigeon. I mean, that's the thing that I tell people about. You know, when I'm talking on Sunday morning or Friday night on my Colonel Gospel Hour, people talk about faith. And I ask them all the time, you ever seen a baby pigeon? Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody ever seen a baby pigeon, but you know they're baby pigeons because you see the full-grown pigeons.
Right.
So are you going to tell me just because you haven't seen a baby pigeon, ain't no such thing as it's so?
You make a good point. Brandy, could you continue,
could
please?
Could you continue, please? Put the candy crush down and let's go.
That was a fucking minute and a half. I'll never get back.
Have you ever seen a baby pigeon?
Yes. By the way, I've never killed a pig either.
Oh, yeah.
I've never killed a pig.
Don't start that conversation.
I've never killed a pig either.
Okay.
Let's see. Is jealousy... Okay, so shortly after their marriage, of course, he's fucking around and he begins to question his wife's fidelity.
Yeah, she's probably a slut.
You know she was giving that.
She's still like riding her bike
she was
and.
That shit away. Yeah.
I mean, my God. So, his jealousy would lead Sickles to murder the district attorney.
She's probably spending all her time on Instagram, I guess. Yeah. 14.
Would lead Sickles to murder the district attorney of the District of Columbia, Philip Barton Key II, son of Francis Scott Key. In case you don't know who that is, it is here that he is the author of the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
Sickles learned of his wife's supposed infidelity from a letter on February 26, 1859, insinuating that she was having an affair with Key. He then confronted her and forced her to write a detailed confession of the affair, which included, "I have been in a house on 15th Street with Mr. Key. How many times, I do not know. I believe the house belongs to a colored man. The house is unoccupied. Commenced going there the latter part of January. Have been in alone with Mr. Key. Usually stayed an hour or more. There was a bed on the second story. I did what is usual for a wicked woman to do. An intimacy."
Fucking wicked woman.
An intimacy.
Yeah, they're whores, Colonel.
Of an improper kind. I undressed myself. Mr. Key undressed also, and we went to bed together.
Ooh, you know he had a wang.
In addition to that, she also confessed to having been
erected
with Key.
Wang. He had an erected wang.
He did.
What the wang?
Papa wanger. Come on.
She
Devin.
Also confessed to having been with Key in her own home.
Oh, that slut! She gonna bring a man into her own home? This guy out paying for her. He putting a roof over the whore's head, and she
bringing
another
home
man.
The, he's bringing
house.
Home the pigeon.
Yeah, she did.
I'm aghast.
I'm aghast. I could not be more morally offended.
Yeah. Continue, Brandy.
Continue.
What else has this slut done?
Hold on. I'm trying to keep my eye from bulging out. Just give me a second here.
Tell us more whore tales.
Mr. Key has
tales
kissed.
From the whore side.
Yeah.
Mr. Key has kissed me several times in this house.
Oh, did he kiss her in that special
place? I do not
place?
Deny that we have had a connection in this house, in the parlor, on the sofa.
Did it on the sofa.
Did it on the sofa. Ooh, that's a nasty-ass thing to
Sickles
do.
Sickles then took his wife's wedding ring from her. Yeah, that's hurtful.
Well.
And proceeded to brood over the matter.
Well, he should be brooding.
I'd have been brooming.
Yeah.
I'd have been brooming.
You're cleaning? You get pissed off and you start cleaning.
Yeah.
On February 27th, Sickles observed Key attempting to set up another liaison with Mrs. Sickles outside of their home, which today would have been on the west side of Lafayette Square. Oh, okay. Because I was wondering where that was.
It's by the White House.
West side of Lafayette. Sickles then sent a friend. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
In case I need to know.
Keep going.
Sickles then sent a friend, Samuel Butterworth.
Now,
son of Mrs. Butterworth.
Mrs. Butterworth's husband, yeah.
Let's see. Out to delay Key from leaving. As Key has continued to walk after giving the couple's customary signal of waving a handkerchief at the house.
Ooh, that's pretty clever.
Yeah.
Sickles then grabbed three guns and went out to meet Key.
Holy shit. I guess
well,
they
one
didn't
can misfire.
Revolvers.
Well, one can misfire.
Yeah, it's probably single shots.
Yeah, so, he had to pack them and all that kind of shit. I wonder if he challenged him to a was it sanctioned duel?
No, he didn't. He didn't challenge.
It wasn't a formal.
No, he just killed him.
It was just murder.
Let's see. Catching up to him at the corner of Madison Place Northwest and Pennsylvania Avenue in Lafayette Square, which is just across the street from the White House. The 12 witnesses reported that Sickles shouted something to the effect of, "Key, you scoundrel, you have dishonored my home. You must die." I just see that as a bad, like, karate movie where the lips are off.
Keys, you scoundrel. You don't die. Did you ever seen What's Up, Tiger Lily by Woody Allen?
No.
It's a Japanese movie that they took and they just redubbed crazy shit in English. It's just funnier than hell.
No.
It doesn't go with the story. It's just
yeah. Those are the best kind. The 12 witnesses reported, the fact that Sickles was allowed to dishonor his home with numerous affairs and now murder is apparently neither here nor there. The hell, who does that sound like? Key was not armed, but after the first shot missed, that's why he had three, or the gun misfired, it wasn't clear, he attempted to fight Sickles hand to hand. He had two other guns. Unfortunately for Key, Sickles had more than one gun and pulled out the second as Key rushed towards him. Key then tried to run away.
How'd you like to see that 360? Motherfucker, I'm gonna...
Right. Yeah. He rethought that.
Yeah. Let's see.
Try to shoot me, motherfucker. I'll tell you what I'll do. Oh, never mind.
Well, he ran away, but Sickles shot this time and hit Key in the groin region.
Oh!
And well...
Nah, that's just not kosher.
Well,
under no circumstances is shooting a man in the groin.
Well, because even if you survive, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
you're Mrs. Key. After that,
Key fell to the ground and shouted, "Don't shoot me, murder!" and threw an object at Sickles, which was probably a rock.
Which was his dick that just
right
out of his pants.
Oh, this object was later found to be opera glasses.
See, never bring an opera glass to a gunfight.
Yeah. So clearly, this was just a badass. Sounds like the fight on Beat It. On the Beat It video. Jesus Christ.
Seems like he actually, there was a duel. He just didn't tell
he
this guy
about it. He was not prepared. Yeah.
So apparently he just went and killed Dick, shot the guy. He lured him in with the handkerchief.
Well, he had the opera glasses on him. To be able to see if Mrs. Sickles was signaling back from her second-story window.
So that
was
before texting. Little tools of poor morals, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sickles then took out his third gun and shot Key in the chest as he lay on the ground, delivering the fatal blow, though Key was, Rasputin and took like an hour to die. Sickles then stood over Key and tried to shoot him in the head, but the gun misfired.
That's a hateful son of a bitch right here.
God damn.
Well, yeah, are you
did
messing
he beat
with a man?
Him with the gun when it didn't work?
With just the opera glasses.
Broke.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, so is he laying on the ground the whole time to die?
Yeah, like right across the street from the White House.
Well, like where the fuck was any kind of medical personnel? I mean, I'm not saying the ambulance has to pull up.
I'm pretty sure
there's
when you, back in those days, when you got a guy standing over another guy with a gun.
Yeah.
You don't know if he's got four or five guns.
Yeah, you kind of wait to see how it plays out.
You know what? It really ain't none of my business. I'm just going to go the other way. I'm just here for the tour of the White House.
After the murder, Sickles confessed and surrendered himself to Attorney General Jeremiah Black at Black's home. Being a former senator and current congressman, Sickles' stay in jail was quite unusual, as it would be today.
So hold on. Was anybody able to come to Sickle's cell?
Anemia was there.
Okay.
Nice work out of you. Much of D.C.'s...
That's the way you can say the funny things when you pay attention.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you pick up... See, I'm playing off what you're saying, but I'm actually listening to
what you're saying. I have the most interesting part.
You do.
You do.
So, yeah. Suck it.
Well, we're giving you the interesting stuff to try to keep you engaged, but even that ain't working.
You done? Senators and congressmen came in and wished Sickles well. President James Buchanan did not personally visit, but he sent Sickles a little note.
Nice of him.
With a hang in there, kitty poster. So many people came to see Sickles that he was given use of the head jailer's apartment to welcome them and have dinner parties, apparently. Even more, Even more incredibly, Sickles was allowed to keep possession of his personal weapon while in jail. All three of them or just the one?
Because that'd be kind of...
Did he get the opera glasses?
You don't have three holsters. It's not like back in the days. You just tucked them in your belt. Walking around, he looked like some badass pirate.
Like a bandito.
Yeah.
Harper's Magazine reported that the visits of his wife's mother and her clergyman were painful for Sickles.
Yeah, well, I can imagine.
Both told him that Teresa was distracted with grief, shame, and sorrow, and that the loss of her wedding ring, which Sickles had taken, was more than Teresa could bear. Sickles was charged with murder. He secured several leading politicians as defense attorneys, among them Edwin M. Stratton, later to become President Lincoln's Secretary of War, and Chief Counsel James T. Brady, who later became Reagan's
press secretary.
Secretary.
Very old.
Yeah.
Lived to be 100.
He's a vampire. Although he confessed to the murder, at his trial, Sickles' lawyer came up with a novel defense, claiming that while Sickles was not insane, he had been driven temporarily insane by his wife's infidelity.
Crime of passion.
Mm-hmm. Right. Before the jury, Stanton argued that Sickles had been driven insane by his wife's infidelity and thus was out of his mind when he shot Key.
That sounds
The paper weird. Soon trumpeted that Sickles was a hero for saving all of the ladies of Washington from this rogue named Key.
Yeah, the bastard. Wow. He's probably banging everything that's inside.
You know, he was a cad.
He was a cad.
He was a cad.
He was a cad.
The newspapers went further and declared declared that Sickles was actually protecting our innocent women from the evil lustfulness of Key,
damn right,
who, like Sickles, was known to be a ladies' man.
He had the wang.
He had the wang.
Yeah. Well, it got shot off, but
he had them for a while. He used to have 8 inches of wang. Now he had 2 inches.
Got a little stub.
He was like a 44-year-old woman. Oh. He had 2 inches of wang by that time.
The general public agreed with this sentiment and lauded Sickles as
a
hero.
Me.
I like that girl.
Sickles was also able to convince the public that his wife was a harlot.
Fucking whore.
By leaking her detailed confession to the press.
Well,
he was smart.
He got that confession.
He got it right.
Yeah, he was smart.
Even though it was considered inadmissible in court. This further turned the general public against his wife and for Sickles, who was seen as the victim. Apparently, the jury also swallowed it.
They swallowed
it. So did Mrs. Sickles.
Hook, line, and sinker. Sickles was acquitted, and as it only temporary insanity, got off scot-free, and a new legal precedent entered the tomes of jurisprudence. That was some
like
big
that.
Words.
You like that?
I did. After his release.
I can write him, I just can't say him.
Well,
excuse me, devil, I don't have my glasses on. Is this Bill Shakespeare sitting next to me here?
For every one of these little gems, there's a couple of turds that are thrown in there. After his release, those who'd been following the case at first were in high support of Dan Sickles.
Now you know why I'm so burnt out, because I do such high quality work on my script.
I don't know how you do it week after week.
Well, it's not easy.
And I did, because I got a script, I'll do it after this one. But
oh, Jesus, you got another story again today.
Why are we doing that?
I don't know.
Who would prove that? Did you approve it?
It's part of my new deal, and I renegotiate it, that's right. I get to do a script a week, too.
All right. So after, this changed dramatically, even among some friends, when Sickles forgave his wife and stated that the couple were going to bury the past in the grave of oblivion and that their love is greater than ever.
Yeah, he forgave his wife and people got pissed off about that.
The public outcry was so negative that it was generally assumed that his career in politics would be over. Not from the murder, but because he forgave his wife.
That happens on Jerry Springer all the time.
Yeah.
They'll always be the one is getting screwed over, but when she takes him back, then the audience turns on her every time.
Let me tell you something. So I was off.
Do you have to point your finger
Dave,
at me?
Yes.
I
was off.
Serious.
My husband would watch Springer. It was horrible. But all these people act all surprised when you come, when they're on there and then somebody has some big shocking revelation.
Yeah, if you're...
If you get called to the Springer show...
Yeah, if you're a spouse wants to share a secret on
then
Springer...
Then he's fucking a tranny. That's what's happening.
Or is a tranny.
Or is a tranny or likes taking baths in corn while he fucks a tranny.
Yes.
All of those things have happened on Springer.
I know.
And let me tell you something else. I did watch one. And he was all talking about how he'd met somebody online. She was so pretty, but they'd never met in person. And an old girl came walking out, and she was a man. And he still hadn't caught on.
You got catfish.
When you see
the scrotum, that's always a sure yeah. sign.
But right, he still girl. Hadn't caught on.
Because real women normally don't have scrotums.
That's true. But she had to tell him, you know, I have man jibbles and bits. Mm-hmm. And he did not like that.
Well, yeah, so it's a downer.
So he got rid of his wife and his booty call for this girly man, and he did not want. So
it's disappointing.
It was disappointing for him. I found it amusing, and then I had to try it.
I got a dilemma with this because, you know, Mrs. Colonel, she was an innocent woman when I met her, and if she were to have a dalliance with another man. See, here's the problem that I see.
I didn't know that we were talking about Renee fucking around on you.
Mrs. Colonel has been raised basically on lobster, Timmy.
Oh, my God.
You know, and if you eat 29 years of lobster, I suppose you would want a bologna sandwich just to see what it would look like, what it would taste like. You know what I mean?
I was messed up with your metaphors there. I thought you meant
He was on his phone,
first of all. I thought you were referring to the size of your penis was like the size of a lobster.
I thought he was just saying his crotch smelled like the ocean.
A big angry lobster to me. No, what I'm saying is, you know, the girl been raised on filet mignon.
I got so many steps I'm taking.
Your dick smells like midnight at Long John Silver's. Is that what you're telling us?
My balls are like the crab puffs.
Yeah. So
those little hush puppies.
We're going to go ahead and move forward because this story's dumb.
Thank you.
So, I thought you were done.
No.
Oh, there's more. No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's more. Let's see. As such, he sent a letter to be published by the Herald explaining his decision to forgive his young wife. It said, "If I ever failed to comprehend the utterly desolate position of an offending through pertinent women, penitent, not pertinent, completely different word,
penitentiary women,
the hopeless future with its dark possibilities of danger to which she is doomed when prescribed as an outcast, I can see now plainly enough an almost universal howl of denunciations with which she has followed to my threshold, the misery and perils from which I have rescued the mother of my child." Oh. So he's going to throw her a bone.
Yeah, he's playing a mother card. It has nothing to do with the fact that her dad is wealthy, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Well, everybody else done threw her a bone.
While he had professed his love for his wife and stated they were back together, he and his wife were mutually estranged for the rest of her short life following the trial. He briefly withdrew from public life, though he did not resign from Congress.
Yeah, and then he went on to have another, you know, even more fascinating life. And the colonel's going to tell us about that.
Well, he's busy.
If he gets off his fucking phone.
See, I had to make sure that people on our page were not.
Please do the podcast.
Come on, Seafood Dick. Get on with it.
What happens next with Mr. Pickles?
The Krusty Krab.
Short John
Ocean
Silver.
Balls.
Barnacles.
Barnacle balls.
Leave my barnacles alone.
Yes.
Okay, now he's got a problem here, Timmy. He's got a tarnished reputation.
Well, people are pissed at him for taking back that harlot who's now probably in junior high.
But, you know, this girl probably, she had a lot of practice now. The girl could probably, you know.
No.
She had a certain set of skills.
She was a baby. Yeah, come on.
She'd been banging everybody in the neighborhood.
No, she
hadn't. Learned quick.
She was a baby.
So anyway.
Oh, she has that hanky out every afternoon.
She's throwing that thing at everybody.
Yeah, she puts that hanky out like seven guys come over.
Look like the Confederate flag in 1870. It got holes and everything else in it. She waved at something.
Good
so
Lord.
Long. So anyway, he decides he's going to fix his reputation, so he joined the army.
All right, so he goes to the army.
Yeah, he was made a general. Well, General Dan Sickles was a close ally and friend of Major General Joseph Hooker.
Uh-oh.
His original commander.
We know what he was famous for.
Oh, yeah, General Hooker. His original commander, who eventually commanded the Army of the Potomac. Both men had notorious reputations as political climbers and hard-drinking ladies' men.
Lady's mad at the Wangs.
Now, General Hooker had a number of prostitutes follow his camp. They became known as Hooker's Girls, and just later...
So they were roadies.
Hookers. That's where the name Hooker comes from.
And they were roadies.
Yeah. Now, Sickle Cell later went on to somehow win the Congressional Medal of Honor for his acts of bravery during the Civil War, more aptly, for disobeying orders during the Battle of Gettysburg, which nearly resulted in the Union Army defeat, though some scholars think today that his blunder may have inadvertently resulted in victory at Gettysburg.
Well, he was charging with opera glasses.
Yeah. Right. So he could see.
And what happened, it was a sunny day. The glass reflected off the opera glasses when his men blinded the enemy and his backup shot
him.
How many guns did he have?
He was in Gettysburg. Tell him what happens, girl. What happens there?
Well, the specific act he did to disobey orders during the Battle of Gettysburg was to move his troops out of the ordered position by about a mile, significantly weakening the Union line and causing his troops to nearly be annihilated as they were completely exposed to attacks from all sides at the new position.
So he's not really no military genius.
He's not a strategist. Custer.
Yeah, he's
no Napoleon.
He's no MacArthur, there,
right,
Timmy.
Right.
So now, ironically enough, as his decisions to move them was because he thought the new position would be easier to defend.
Well, yeah, usually you're a mile back, further back.
Yeah, but he walked right into them. So. Yeah. As noted, though, some scholars think that it may have helped the Union, as General Lee had not expected this positioning. General Lee had not expected this positioning, and when his troops were forced to concentrate on Sickles rather than their intended target, it messed up the advance of the Confederate Army and threw off General Lee's carefully laid battle strategy.
I think it... Robert E. Lee was playing Candy Crush at the time.
He was.
Or he was looking for Teresa to wave the hanky.
Yeah. He had one of Hooker's over there.
Yeah.
Whatever the case, his insubordination resulted in one of his legs being blown off during the battles of Gettysburg,
ending his command. Yeah, he lost his leg.
Yeah, he got a big woody after that. After his leg was amputated,
step drag.
Sickles mailed his amputated leg to the National Museum of Health and Medicine in Washington, D.C.
Because clearly they would want that.
Well, how much postage is that?
I was going to win. And if they didn't, would they just send it back?
I don't know.
Well, did you pack it in ice?
Sickles then immediately headed back to Washington in order that his version of events would be the one first written about in the papers, being the first to bring news of this battle.
Yeah, so he was like Churchill. He decided he'd write the history of his...
Yeah, I'm going to tell everybody what happened here. Yeah. Now, his version, of course, had himself as the hero of the pivotal confrontation.
Well, he's not stupid.
Rather than him wandering around saying, you know what, come back here in the woods. It's going to be safe here. And, oh, they all got their asses shot off.
So he was spinning it that he was the hero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, his version... His version had him as the hero, right? His resurgence in popularity, sympathy over his lost leg, and certain high-placed political friends, including Abraham Lincoln, helped stop him from being court-martialed for his blatant insubordination during a key battle. The sumbitch was a slacker and scared and backed up, and all Lee's guys were like wild dogs and ripped him apart.
Good
and Lee
stayed
in there, gets like... Get back, Rudy, over here. God.
They got distracted, and then the Union troops were able to hit him.
You know Lee's got to be standing there thinking, God damn it.
How did I lose this son of a bitch?
Yeah. So anyway, in the aftermath of the war, Sickles also claimed that he had only advanced his position as he felt Union General Meade was a coward and was going to retreat rather than fight.
Well, so, Meade he didn't want to use his army.
He didn't want to fight ever.
He's the one that Lincoln said, if you're not going to use your army,
borrow it, please? Yeah. Meade was a pacifist.
Yeah, you're really right.
So he advanced to force the general to commit his troops. He also stated he did it in mind of sacrificing himself and his brave men in the name of blunting the Southern onslaught in order to allow the Union Army ultimate victory. Basically, I'm throwing myself on a grenade here.
He's a brave man.
Oh, yeah. Now, his own self-serving version of events apparently won over the general public, and he was awarded with the Congressional Medal of Honor for bravery, which, let's just clarify something. I believe, is it just the Medal of Honor?
Because now it is.
Back then it was a Congressional Medal. But at some point it changed to just the Medal of Honor, mm-hmm. yeah. So, in 1866, he was retired from the Army with the advanced rank of Major General in a regular establishment. Sickles was then appointed U.S. Minister to Spain by Grant, and he furthered his reputation as
a ladies' man. And a wang over here in Spain.
yeah. Among his affairs in Europe, Sickles was rumored to have an affair with the deposed Queen Isabella II.
The second.
Yeah.
God.
Wang in Spain.
right.
The Wang in Spain falls mainly
on the plain.
along the dirty flower. In the 1890s, he served a term in Congress. For 26 years, until forced out in a financial scandal.
Shocking.
Yeah, he chaired the New York State Monuments Commission. Now, that sounds like an important job.
Yeah.
That's when
he had a lot of monuments probably
after the
war.
That's when you give your dummy brother-in-law. You take the monument position.
Yeah.
Now, he held a number of other official positions, even serving as sheriff of New York. So, the bone from Sickles' amputated leg can be observed in the National Museum of Health and Medicine, where you can also find a vertebrae of John Wilkes Booth.
Huh, cool.
And one from President James A. Garfield.
I want to see, is his wang there?
Not yet.
Okay.
Jesus.
Sickles actually visited the bone at the leg of the museum every year on the anniversary of his leg being partially blown off.
Who doesn't amputated. Oh. Visit? He has an attachment to
their body part. Not anymore.
Well, He had a bunch of officials positions after that, and even serving briefly as sheriff of New York in 1890. Now, from 93 to 95, he served a final term in the U.S. House. He then retired from national politics after defeat in trying to become elected in 1896. He lived out the remainder of his colorful life in New York City, where he would often be seen well into his 80s visiting Fanny's grave.
Fanny White, the prostitute.
Daniel Sickles died on May 3, 1914.
May 3rd, is it?
May 3rd, yeah.
No, May 3.
May 3. At the age of 94, a long, healthy life of 94.
Yeah, quite a life.
Yeah. Yeah, just think if they had a Viagra, he'd have been banging all the way up to that last day. Well, he'd only live to be 85 because he would have had a heart attack or something. His funeral was held at St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan. Over 6,000 people attended. As a Medal of Honor winner, he was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. You been to Arlington?
Yes, I have.
You ever been to Arlington?
Mm-hmm.
Did you stay for the changing of the guard?
Mm-hmm.
When we were there, Timmy, it was like 100 degrees out.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys wear those thick wool coats. It's an amazing thing.
Did his leg come to his funeral?
No, he wasn't buried with his leg.
I don't know if he showed up at the funeral.
Oh, no. His leg is still in the...
Teresa didn't have such a long and fruitful life.
His wife.
She died of the consumption in 1861, the beginning of the Civil War, at the young age of 31.
Oh. So she still lived with that guy for 15 years or so.
Poor girl didn't even get a chance to grow her own penis. She died at 31 years old.
18 years. Yeah. Poor thing.
Fuck it. She was a whore.
Yeah.
So... Despite his war antics and other accomplishments, Dan Sickles will always be known as the first man to use a temporary insanity defense. Today, approximately all of 1% of all U.S. court cases have the defendants using the insanity defense. Of those, only about 26% have successful outcomes, with 90% of those successful outcomes largely influenced by the defendant being previously diagnosed with a mental illness.
Yeah, so Daniel Sickles today would have a hard time probably using that defense. He was connected. Yeah. I mean, he was connected. That's how he got off.
Right.
But, you know, you always hear of it used for murder cases. I wonder how often it's used for
other criminal cases?
I don't know.
Like assault or something?
You'd have to ask a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's
Colonel probably knows.
Well, he's on his phone. Ask him to look it up.
Well, I'm going to
talk about me being on my phone.
Okay, Brandon, your final thoughts on Daniel E. Sickles.
A bit of a douche.
you didn't like? Who do you like better, him or Norton douche. The First?
Clearly, I like Norton the First. Norton I.
Norton I?
Colonel, your final thoughts on General, Senator... Yep.
Statesman. I think having insanity recognized as a defense is an
accomplishment.
Good thing. I think it's what we needed at the time, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was insane. His wife had driven him fucking crazy. How many times?
He was never with her. How did that happen?
You know what? I could go out and do goddamn near anything, and all the jury would have to do is spend 2 hours driving around in a car with Renee, and they'd say, yeah, the motherfucker been driven crazy.
Here's what I don't understand. Like, he lobbied to marry this little girl.
Yeah.
Lobbied to marry her, and then...
Well, her dad was loaded.
I know. And then leaves her at home. Well, I mean, like, he's not even hiding that he's fucking around. Okay. So then he, like, leaves her at home and goes running all over the countryside with a literal whore. I mean...
Fanny, I like Fanny, though.
Yeah, a whore in the truest sense of the word.
I have no problem with Fanny. Okay. I don't care. But, you know.
I like Fanny. I like Fanny.
She's probably got a big Fanny of it.
I bet she did.
But, I mean, come on. This guy's a tool.
You know, back in those days, you had to be careful not pay by the hour because it takes you 25 minutes to get those fucking clothes off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you gotta say it's called naked time, Timmy. I'm only paying from the time you're naked on.
Okay. I didn't realize that. Thank you, Colonel.
Called Naked Time. And you know what?
I always learn a lot when we do these podcasts.
And the other thing is, too, it's called Naked and Washington.
Afraid.
Because they wear these big-ass petticoats and stuff. Summertime.
Ooh,
get
man,
a little steamy under there, Timmy.
You ain't kidding, man.
That garden get a little
really?
Steamy.
Yeah. Let's talk about your barnacle balls. Let's talk about that.
You're saying the garden's not fresh.
I'm just saying the lettuce might be wilted under there.
All right.
So you got to... say, you know, hey.
Colonel, you're a man of great insight.
Well, you know.
And his dick smells like low tide.
Okay, Colonel. You going to give us shout-outs or are you going to give us some stupid story?
Wait, Timmy. Now, this is something that's important because.
I don't think it is.
All right. Let's say now we're moving to Colonel's Corner where he's going to tell us something stupid.
We got people.
Quickly.
No, something. This is not stupid. We all got people all over the Midwest, right?
We do.
What do you have in the Midwest, Timmy?
Tornadoes.
You have cows.
Yes, we do.
Now, people might not notice. Now, in Brazil, you know, you got little houses. And this guy, this poor son of a bitch.
I'm not a big fan of the tiny
house. Jorge Marie de Souza, he been in bed with his wife, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he had one of those houses that was built into the hillside. It helped keep it warm and, you know,
cave.
Gave access to it.
Cave, basically.
And somebody's cow came wandering down the hill. Got onto the corrugated sheet metal roof of his house.
No, this is not going to end well.
And the cow came through the roof, landed on him in bed, and killed him.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Have a cow fall on you while you're in bed.
That sucks.
Yeah. The 1.5-ton cow. It fell 8
Big
feet
ass cow.
Onto Mr. Souza's side of the bed.
Even
didn't
if it was
do
a smaller
anything
cow.
At all to his wife. She was on the other side of the bed. Had they been, you know, fornicated. They would have gone out, Timmy, with one last powerful thrust.
Good thing for her that they wasn't fornicating. When did that happen, do you know?
That happened. I can give you the exact date. It happened down in Brazil, Timmy.
Yeah.
And his mom had something very funny to say.
What did she say?
It was
holy cow.
No, it was not holy cow. Although that's a good one, Devil. I like that one.
Since buying the
Mama said,
cow when you get milk for free.
Yeah. I did not raise my son to be killed by a falling cow.
Well, I mean, who does, really?
Now, the owner of the cow could be charged with one count of involuntary manslaughter.
Or negligence or something?
Yeah. Yeah, for letting the cow, because the cow got out of his own, he wasn't there, you know.
Well, yeah,
and the cow wasn't pinned in.
Yeah.
You can't just let a cow just run wild.
No, I guess not, but you shouldn't have your house and...
He's in a cave. I don't know what else you want.
I mean, you can't protect yourself from some things.
Well,
But yeah, he was.
That's a sad story, and I hate.
Who would ever think that a cow would fall through the ceiling?
I would hate for our podcast to end on such a sad note. So maybe we should move to shout-outs, Colonel.
We should move to shout-outs, Timmy. But you know, I wanted to comment on something.
Hey, let's not.
If we could.
Brandy is hanging herself.
Look at Brandy. Now all of a sudden she's all, you know.
Yeah, she's putting a rope around her neck.
She's
got
to pay attention. This is horrible for her. I don't know what you got going on over there, devil.
Okay,
you
got
to go to the bathroom or something. What do you got?
We need to wrap this up, Colonel.
Oh yeah, that's right. You got to get home. Yeah,
absolutely.
Don't you? Okay. Anyway, we put a thread up of.
Well, you have to explain where we put it because
on our Facebook page, History Dweebs the podcast.
Our Facebook group, History.
Facebook
Dweebs
group, History Dweebs the podcast.
Sweaty balls.
We put a post up of put your significant other up, and now we kind of make fun and you know overlook the men in the group at times. Those men have some beautiful ass wives, don't they?
Yes.
Some beautiful, beautiful women in our men.
Briny balls.
Yes.
Sweaty balls. Shrimpy scrotums.
Sweaty balls.
Okay. All right, Colonel, shout outs.
So let me get some dish shout outs here. As always, our first shout out goes to
Tasha out in California. Hey, Tasha.
Damn right, Tasha. Tasha's always our first shout out. Then we got Jeff Girdley.
Jeff.
It's my alarm. It's feeding time.
Sam Hildebrand, Angie Ball, Rebecca Montanle, and her little friend.
Hey, Rebecca.
Jennifer and Linda, Missy Dean Horton, Britt and Chris, of course, Celine, Jeff Chestnut, my fellow Broncos fan, Teresa Slavin, Tommy Boom Boom.
Jeff Chestnut is a Broncos fan.
Yeah, that's what I said. Jeff Chestnut, my fellow Broncos fan. Shonda
with no R.
Shonda with no R and Larry. I'm sorry, Larry. I got that one wrong.
Okay, Larry, what's up,
dumbass?
Colton, of course, Phyllis Munson, all the Trowbridges.
Yeah, you put lumping up them all in together. In there. I just don't know why you do that. So rude.
Aaron Wentz. Donna Curran, Lisa, and Brian. They're two couple wild hippies there.
The Lawtons.
The Lawtons, yeah. Olivia Meyer. Of course, the lovely Katya.
Very lovely
Katya. And speaking of lovely, the lovely Fallon, who I believe just had a first anniversary. Was that Fallon? No, I believe it was Karen Barnes had a first anniversary.
Oh, we love Fallon as well.
We do. We love them both. Monica D. D'Agostino.
Hey, Monica.
Sandy September, because I can't get a last name right. Bridget Clavey, Byron Snellings and Denny Mack and William Trow.
Hey, guys.
Amber Krupp with the cute little boy running around crushing and slamming people throwing them into the ropes and giving them the atomic elbow. Gina Spillane, crazy-ass Trixie. You know if you hung out with Trixie
would be a lot of fun. Trixie would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Stephanie Quick, of course. Sydney and Michael got another beautiful little dog there. Jamie Tarantino, of course, Laura O'Reilly and Gabby Lewis. Sunstar, Tara V. Bond.
Jean Bond.
Lydia. Brandy McBride. Maggie Glover. Jeff Appel. Christine, come on, Timmy.
Bourgeois.
And Mary Ray.
Hey, Mary.
And John Holmes.
Big John Holmes.
And Katie. Lovely Katie.
Yes, Katie.
Katie Moorhead. Katie Moorhead. Lovely, lovely girl. Mike Eisenhower. I got Rebecca Montanle and her little cat. Danielle Fredrickson. Nancy Palomino. Kim Kamikaze, Jennifer Hawkins, Tara Nee, and she knows who you are, Lindsay O'Brien McMillan, Sonyana, Eddie Rushing, Yo Handler, Sammy James, Jason Dykes, Amy Carol Payne, Tyra Jenkins, the charming, charming Angie Song.
Very charming young lady.
Yeah, Jason Thomas. Bobby Burns, of course, that's BJ on the Weekends, the podcast.
Yes, check it out. Check out Bobby's weekends.com.
Let's see. We got Andy Volley.
Mm-hmm. Andy?
I think I've been missing him. Elise, I know I covered her, but hopefully Elise, and it's just coming from our page. If you follow the page, you know what I'm talking about. Hopefully, Elise, you find you a good wiener soon.
I don't know what you're saying, but okay.
Elise put up on the page, they were talking about zombie dogs or something. She said, Elise said, I love me nothing more than a good wiener.
Okay. See what you missed.
As the devil says.
You're missing if you're not on our Facebook
page. That's right. Annette Petrie, who was feeling under the weather. We hope she's feeling better now.
Absolutely.
Christina Montana and her little friend. Come. Did you get that one, Timmy?
Yeah, I got it. And
my little friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Because she'd be Tina Montana as opposed to Tony Montana.
I gotcha.
Okay. Maria Barber, Jennifer Potts, of course, Cindy Overstreet, Hamilton, Melissa Lebrano, Brittany Powell, Heather Hall, Heather
Chris,
Poole.
What about Chris? See Chris and Brittany?
I got Chris and
okay.
Brittany.
Okay. Oh, you said Brittany Powell. I'm sorry.
Maggie Glover, of course, Christine Eberle, Timmy. We've got who's healing up with a little after a procedure and may have her girl going to Cambridge, Miss Lovely Lady Beverly.
Lady Beverly, we hope you're doing better and congratulations. That's quite an honor to have your daughter.
Oh, her daughter's. We're trying to arrange something between between Logan and her daughter. Mm-hmm. Because Logan's not a bad kid.
No,
he's a handsome
guy.
Kid. Yes. He's not the smartest kid in the world. He ain't getting into Cambridge.
He's very talented, though. He's very artistic.
He's a very talented kid. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I worry about the boy.
About M. Waterfall.
And little Emmy Waterfall, of course.
Oh, you're going to get into Colonel's crew, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got, so the Colonel's crew, we got Emmy Waterfall. We got Angie Ball. The brilliant Nicola. Mm-hmm. Who keeps me out of jail? Sarah Mimosa.
Solicitor.
The solicitor.
Yeah. I'm a solicitor too, but in a different way.
Yes.
I do soliciting.
Jennifer.
Well, I can get done with this podcast so I can go out and solicit.
Well, let me get through these all and right. I will. We got Jennifer, You Can't Afford Me Burdick.
Yes.
Yes. Karen Barnes, of course. Karen had her first anniversary, I believe, yesterday.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Karen. Janet Fitzgerald, Frances Doughton, and the, as always, always, always lovely Jessica Williams, of course.
Very lovely lady.
Oh, yeah. Amanda Bocce Ball. We got Shannon, and on the Colonel crew, we got Angela Cobes. Mm-hmm. And I can't forget the crazy, my enforcer on the Colonel crew.
Who's that?
Allie.
Allie. Okay.
Crazy ass Allie. Allie and Charlie.
I thought Scott was your right, your king's hand or whatever.
Well, Scott's close advisor, but Allie's the muscle. Nicola, she's the brain. Nicola and Shannon are the brains of the group.
Okay.
But yeah,
sure
Allie.
About you.
You need somebody thrown in a river and never found again. You call Allie.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got Angie and Jason Thomas. Already got him. And we covered Allie and Charlie on Insight.
The Insight right? Podcast.
The Insight
check
Podcast.
Them out.
And that's really all I got for today, Timmy, except for, and today is the first day that we hope they worked out. We're going to mix this all together and see how it comes out. But this is the first time that we have used our new recording equipment. For that, we would love to thank the lovely and wonderful Dottie Scott.
Yes, thanks, Mom. Brandy, where can people find us?
Well, I want to give a shout out.
Okay.
To Kate.
Okay.
Because we didn't give her a proper shout out.
I gave her one in the beginning of the show.
Again.
The
show. Okay. Well, I'll give her one at the end since you keep fucking it up.
Sorry, Kate.
And Steve Miller.
Okay. Violet
and
Eagle.
On the list.
Yes, whatever.
And to Casey. Mm.
Okay, and to Casey, sure,
okay.
Whatever.
Where can people find us?
Find us on History Dweebs, the podcast.
Yeah, that's
Facebook.
On Facebook, History Dweebs, the podcast. That's where all the folks that we're talking about hang out. Come and join us, History Dweebs, the podcast.
Twitter,
cool at kids, History Dweebs 1.
You can find us on the iTunes.
Yes, please subscribe and leave us a review. We love reviews, and you'll get mentioned on the show if you leave us a positive review.
And Libsyn and Stitcher and all those fun places.
Yes. So join us there. And thank you for joining us today. And we'll see you all again next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.